This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
There's Lindell shooting wide. Rebound goal! Robertson again! Off the back wall and in! And they're tied at two!
The first time in his Dallas Stars playoff career that Jason Robertson scored twice in the same game. That tied it. Pavelski won it in overtime, and the Dallas Stars stay alive by winning 3-2 last night at the AAC. This is Sean and RJ, along with Bobby Belt, repping the Dallas Stars sweater / jersey live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. The way to hit us up and celebrate via the truckwreck.com text line is 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. And Jason Robertson has woken up. That is the fantastic news. Pete DeBoer, when Robertson is hot, what he does that makes him so lethal?
Well, if I knew that, we would practice it and teach it and bottle it up. But you know, he's a special athlete. That's a special skill to be a scorer, and but when he's feeling it, like I said, he looks like a totally different player. You know, and that's what he's feeling right now.
Okay, so we're trying to pay attention to what Vegas thinks about the Celtics and the Heat, with Miami now up 3-2 and all the pressure on them. What about Vegas, Bobby, and the Stars?
Okay, so for Game 5 specifically coming up, they have the Golden Knights, moneyline favorite, minus 140. Stars are plus 120.
What does that mean, Choppy, in English?
55-45.
Okay.
Maybe closer to 60-40.
For the series, just to win the series outright, the Golden Knights are minus 1,200, and the Stars are plus 650.
Yeah, and I saw you can get it at BetMGM for Golden Knights at minus 1,000.
Yeah, this is Bovada.
Yeah, and the Stars are plus 650 at MGM. You know, FanDuel, Caesars, DraftKings, they're all going to have different odds. You know, they'll generally be in the same ballpark, and you know, minus 1,200 versus minus 1,000 is kind of similar. It's an overwhelming favorite. It's 98%.
Did we all expect the Stars to fold last night, fade away and quit? We did, right?
Yep. Fade into Bolivia, as Mike Tyson would have said.
Yes, and he was there.
He was.
Trying to wave a towel unsuccessfully. That was the 50-cent version
of a towel wave.
What Tyson did in the box with Ric Flair.
He had no idea how to spin a towel. He was kind of half punching with it, and it was really awkward.
But I think they surprised us all after being down 1-0. It's like, okay, fold up, see you later. And then going into overtime, where you know that's been their kryptonite.
Yes,
and they overcame all of it. Impressive.
They did. It was a good performance. It was. I mean, they fought. Their defense played really well, I thought, in the last period and a half. I can't remember a really good chance, maybe two, maybe they had one or two, that Vegas had in the late. I'm trying to think. I'm like, man, like the Stars, like they just really, they played a solid game. Outside of Suter, again, allowing that cross-crease pass to go right between his legs. What was that, mid-second?
Yeah, that wasn't great, which, to be fair, I think Marchessault had, checked him in his back or something. And so that, like, I kind of wonder if that's just what happened there. It wasn't nearly as bad as game two where it was just lazy.
No, but they kind of broke it down in the intermission report.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of went, they were like, that's bad. Like, you've got to take your stick and basically raise his stick off the ground. And then you got to block him out and get your head back on a swivel. Like, they, and he just didn't do that. That was just a brain fart. And he's had a couple of those at moments in this series. But, you know, other than that, I mean, I thought they played a really clean game.
Super fresh spits and suds game four reaction on Odyssey or wherever your favorite podcasts are found. So that's where we stand right now. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock for game five.
I'm believing. It's coming back to Dallas, baby.
No, it isn't.
Yes,
it is. It might come back to Dallas. They're not. If you compare the Heat and the Celtics versus the Stars in Vegas, the Celtics have way more of a chance, way more to win their series than the Stars do, in my opinion.
Ooh.
Is that a hot take?
No, I don't. I don't think you're wrong because there are a few different reasons. One,
you said it.
Well, they're a game ahead.
There's that. You said it.
I would have said that yesterday.
No, but they're a game ahead. That's one. They've already won a game in Miami. They came into this. Everybody felt like they were the better team, Yes. Like discernibly so. Vegas and Dallas were viewed as so close that it's difficult to see Dallas going four in a row. I understand that, but it's going to happen. We're here. We're not going to let this go. We're going to South Beach ourselves. Another takeover. We're going to take the cup, Sean, I believe.
Wow, what a speech that was.
Thank you.
That doesn't get him.
It's better than they're leaving in game five. This is all over.
Well, I mean, you want the truth or you want, what did the female Tolo say that's obsessed with me?
Oh, yeah, where she said, you're funny, and I don't remember what else. She said funny, and I checked out.
Yeah, and spit the truth. spits and truth. My new podcast on the Odyssey app. All right, let's get to Brian Windhorst. So all the ESPN shows are basically focusing on LeBron and Kyrie. By the way, Bobby, you called this. What a brilliant LeBron James strategy of dropping that retirement to get rid of all the sweep talk.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. That's another general manager, like, was quoted anonymously with a report saying, you see what LeBron did? He got everyone just talking about the offseason and Kyrie and what could the Lakers do to keep him? What could they do to save? And not the embarrassment of what happened at the hands of the Western Conference champ. So that was called by Bobby, and it has worked to perfection.
And by the way,
tacos in retirement, man.
How quickly? We forgot. First of all, how quickly we forgot about the sweep. But I forgot this. This team was 2-10 to start the year.
Yeah.
And they made it to the West Finals. Like, that's
impressive.
That's very impressive. I mean, you know, I know that this wasn't their end goal, but I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of.
I totally agree. Shams, and they barely, and they, all the games were close.
The games were close. They lost to the team that was the one seed, man. Like, what are they going to do?
Like, Pete DeBoer is talking like, hey, we're not really, we shouldn't be down 3-0. Lakers can feel that exact same way and more, losing these games in the fourth quarter. Shams was on McAfee yesterday talking about the LeBron retirement rumors.
LeBron James, the numbers he put up this year, historic performances. I think the most points ever for a player at the age of 38. Leads the Lakers from 2-10 all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And he plays, Pat, the last few months of the season with a torn tendon in his foot that could need surgery this summer. I'm told he's been reevaluating that foot. It's very possible he might need surgery on that foot that could sideline him for 2 months. But, you know, 2 months over the offseason, get that foot right. I think that's something he's going to have to get evaluated. And if he's going to need surgery, that'll shelve him for a little bit. But I think anytime you're 38 years old, you just finished your 20th NBA season, you're going to be 39 when next season starts. You have to be thinking about the future. I mean, I think it's only human nature, but this is the first time LeBron James has even broached the topic of retirement. And I think that's why everyone was kind of caught off guard. Even people around him were surprised to an extent. Do I expect LeBron James to retire? I don't. I fully expect him to play next season.
What a hero.
Or you could just be like Joe Pavelski and elevate your game when you're 38 and play better.
Torn tendon.
Now, is this true?
He was hurt.
He was hurt. Yeah.
I saw the injury. I think it was against the Mavs.
Mm-hmm.
I think he hurt his foot against the Mavs.
Yeah. Look, is this going to give him an excuse for getting swept? Whatever. But like, let's just assume he's being for real. This is amazing. The guy's a marvel.
He is.
If he had a torn tendon in his foot, and he took that team and part of that, look, he wasn't the same superstar that he has been in his past. Like, his fourth quarters weren't the greatest things in the world, and uh, he, he did fade down the stretch at a couple of these games, but like that's an amazing performance.
Kyrie basically told Brian Windhorst and everyone else speculating about his future to shut it up. They don't know what they're talking about. Windhorst responded yesterday on ESPN.
Yeah, I think the thing with Kyrie is I think you're always better off to keep an eye on actions over words. And, you know, the actions are that Kyrie has been really, really focused on his contract for a long time. You know, he had this debate whether he was going to pick up his option with the Nets before last season, last summer. And at that time, you know, the Lakers were something that he was interested in. The Lakers had some interest in him as well. And then at midseason, you know, the Nets were playing pretty good basketball, even with Kevin Durant injured. And Kyrie made his contract the focus when he, you know, didn't get the contract extension that he wanted or the offer that he wanted from the Nets. He demanded a trade. And so for Kyrie to say he's not thinking about his contract, I don't think his actions reflect that. I think he thinks about it a lot. And when he comes to multiple Laker playoff games with the Lakers potentially an option again, I'm sorry, the actions are indicating that he is, that is something at the front of his mind.
But, Brian, why are you applauding?
Because he's right. I mean, everything, that's what we've been saying about Kyrie. He's dead on.
But what about the Mavericks' plans? What does Cuban and Bundy have cooked up their sleeves
Al Bundy.
For the offseason, Windhorst?
Now, I will say this. I think when you look at Kyrie this summer, I don't think that anybody should discount the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, one of the things that is definitely out there in the league is that the Mavericks, you know, could make that number 10 pick available in the upcoming draft. They have some contracts that they could attach to it to trade. And I think they're hunting for a big-name complementary piece to put alongside Luka Doncic to get Kyrie Irving in the fold. But one of the things that's going to be important to Kyrie, again, not that I'm speculating anything, I'm just reacting to his actions, the way he's prioritized the contract and the high number and the high guaranteed years, is he's going to want to know what that offer from the Mavericks is. And I'm not sure that the Mavericks are going to make the kind of offer that Kyrie wants. So with all of that out there, I think it only benefits Kyrie in his contract situation, frankly, to be linked to the Lakers.
Whoa, that was important. Not sure the Mavericks are going to make the offer Kyrie wants. I also listened to this yesterday, whole interview, and I wrote this down. Windhorst reported during the Nets trading of Kyrie, the Mavs, the Suns, and both LA teams showed interest. So we knew the Lakers were interested. The Mavs obviously got it done, but he dropped the Clippers and the Suns in there. He said there will be offseason interest, but wow, Bobby. Not going to make him, may not make him the offer he wants.
Well, that would fly in the face of some of the stuff we heard earlier this week about the 3+1 contract that he could get. Because and that, honestly, if Windhorst is saying that, that sort of mirrors a little bit of what Cuban was saying at the end of the year when he did that interview courtside with all the reporters where he sort of insinuated that, yeah, there's a dollar figure we may not go. And if that's the case, okay, that means that you're thinking about offering him under max then.
Where are the Texas Rangers in the power rankings today before this heavyweight series in Baltimore? And RJ is going to tell you how to party it up in Fort Worth today with America's sweetheart. Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Choppy. Is first off, congratulations to Anthony in Fort Worth. The Fort Worth Tolos always representing. Anthony won the final giveaway of the week, the Avenged Sevenfold tickets. We'll be back on Tuesday with another giveaway during the Expressway. What did Tim Collins send us? Aerosmith. Peace Ooh. Out the farewell tour with the Black Crowes as special guests.
Ooh.
Double AC.
1998. I was a young man in Knoxville, Tennessee. We drove down to Atlanta to go see Aerosmith.
If you think you're getting those tickets without our giveaway, dream on.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Was it good? Was he good?
Very good. It was a very good show. Late 90s, they were more in their prime. I mean, I think they had just come out with Armageddon was just a couple of years prior to that.
Yeah, that was, the hell was that song?
I would stay away, just don't want to miss a thing. You breathe in.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
I don't know if "Don't Want to Miss a Thing" was the name of it, but that's what I remember.
No, I think that was it. Actually, now that you said that.
Okay, so that's the giveaway next week at 7:20. Congrats to Anthony in Fort Worth for winning the tickets, and Choppy's going to get you set for Fort Worth today.
All right, if you're heading out there, a couple of things to take note of. First off, the parking. Parking's not easy. You got to park usually at TCU and take a bus. I would recommend an Uber. They will drop you off right outside the first hole. And there's a side gate there right on the first green you could take. Walk right down, get yourself a couple of beers.
You were considering going out there for the Colonial today or this weekend?
Going today. I think we're going to go today. I think that's what's going to happen. Nice. Because we're not going to go to Vegas because $1,000.
Because you don't believe? Oh.
$1,000 flights. Hmm. But anyway, if you're going out there.
Would do it.
Yeah, Bobby would do it for sure.
Especially if I hit as many bets as you do.
That's true. So if you're going out there today, I'm just going to give you some of the big dog names that are out there and their tee times. Victor Hovland, he just got on the course. He teed off at 8:04. Tony Finau just teed off at 8:15 along with Colin Morikawa. Michael Block, America's sweetheart, who had himself a plus 11 day yesterday.
Woo!
You know, you could tell he didn't trust his swing. He decelerated on 10. That's a classic sign that you just don't trust your swing.
He ended up on a bridge.
He made a great shot from that bridge. Cleared a tree, landed right in front of the green. Good shot by him. He tees off in about 20 minutes at 8:48. Jordan Spieth and Justin Rose are teeing off at 12:55. Scottie Scheffler at 12:44. Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood at 106. Those are some of the guys that are teeing off. The leader is Harry Hall, a guy you've never heard of.
No.
He's ranked 197th in the world, 99th in the FedEx Cup standings. He's got two top tens this year. He's never won a tournament on the PGA Tour. He's 25 years old. He looks like the Peaky Blinders guy with the hat that he wears. It's a real easy way to spot him. He tees off at 11:40, and he ended the day yesterday with a four-shot lead. Never won a tournament. There's an old saying, 4 days will change your life in the PGA Tour. Like, this guy, he wins this thing. He's a millionaire overnight. He's in every major for the next, 2 years, at every tour event for the next couple of years. Gets all kinds of exemptions.
Is he going to have the biggest gallery, the following out there?
Who?
Block. Is Michael Block going to have the biggest crowd following?
Let's see. The Rose and Spieth are paired together. That's a really good pairing. Scheffler at 12:44. That's a really big one. But in the morning grouping, the problem is, how many people are out there at 8:45 in the morning?
Right.
You know, it's Friday. People go to work. They'll leave at noon. They'll take a half day. They'll get out there around 1 o'clock.
G-Bag. KMC probably out there.
Yeah, so, so the guys in the afternoon, so today, Scheffler, Rose, Fleetwood, Spieth, that's going to be the big one. But a Finau at 1 o'clock, Finau's on the course now. Fowler at 1 o'clock. Finau, that'll be a good group. For the morning, they'll have a good crowd. Block will.
Thanks to Tolo Edu on social media who sent me a little video clip from Luka Doncic's Instagram. I want you all to go to Luka's Instagram, and I want you to tell me what you see. There's two things. I want to get your reactions to both. And Alec Medford, feel free to do so as well. Go to Luka's Instagram with the stories, and there's two things. 877-881-1053 is the Trevor.com text line. What do you see?
I see
no results for Luka Doncic.
No results?
I put in Luka.
He probably has you blocked after you stabbed him in the back.
Oh, there we go.
Oh.
I see a bad cut.
The haircut.
Bad line. Not good.
He got a. That's a cut.
It's not good.
That is. That can't be.
Oh.
That can't be the full haircut. Can't be.
It's not.
That had to be like halfway through, right?
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's pre-fade.
Because that's the next picture is his actual haircut, which looks a lot better.
Okay. What do you see in that picture, if anything? And what do you see in the video after?
Oh, he's running stairs.
Running stairs, baby. Get the Rocky music, Medford. And the Tolos are all over it. And All Things Mavs tweeted it. It's the Luka offseason we've all been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. And Luka put it on there on his own Instagram that he is training and working out like a warrior in the hills of Slovenia.
I'm going to be a wet blanket a little bit.
This is like the Jerry Rice Hill.
I'm going to be a wet blanket. This is what I thought you were pointing out. When I started looking over the picture, I was like, oh, there's what Sean's talking about. But I guess not. It's do you notice the shirt he's wearing?
No.
It's a bottle of liquor that says Gin Jim on it.
No.
Yes, I'm bringing it over there.
Does he look skinny in that photo? Does he look thinner as we all try to judge him?
I don't know if he looks thinner,
He looks thinner? Are we evaluating? When we all got fooled during the Euro games that offseason? Yeah. We're like, oh, look at him. Look at that angle of that photo on the bench.
Somebody on Twitter the other day had a great tweet that went viral. And they were like, out of context, Luka physique photos are the new Ben Simmons jump shot videos in the offseason. That's what it's become.
It's true.
We're just analyzing like body fat percentage. Yep. And all right, does he look cut? Is that a muscle I see there?
Yeah, exactly. So we got the cut. We got the Gin t-shirt and running the bridge.
Running the stairs.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's good to run stairs. I don't do it, but I heard it's good.
Dude, the Stairmaster will kick your ass.
Beating. Yeah. Absolute beating. All right, let's get to the Rangers power rankings as they're in Baltimore to take on the O's.
The O's, the Baltimore Orioles. So, Rangers were number 4 in the CBS ones, CBS power rankings. How did they fare in the ESPN? And are they still ahead of the Astros? Number 1, Tampa, 36-15. Number 2, the Dodgers, 31-20. Number 3, the Atlanta Braves, 30-19. Number 4, the Texas Rangers.
Let's go!
At 31-18. They did not move. They were fourth last week. They're fourth again this week. Here's the write-up. While the champion Astros are rolling, the Rangers are still hanging on top of the AL West. A weekend sweep of the Rockies helped, and Texas and Houston took top offensive honors for the last week. 5 players compiling an OPS over 1,000 during that time frame, led by Josh Young, who produced a 1447 mark. Corey Seager has driven in 10 runs in 7 games since he returned. The staff made up for the loss of DeGrom as Evaldi, Perez, Dane, Dunning, and John Gray all spun good outings. Might be late enough in the season to say the Rangers are for real. They play the Orioles tonight.
How did the Orioles do this? How did the Orioles turn all this around? Just straight up Houstoning, farm system,
stinking for years, and then nailing your draft picks will do that. And they did. They've hit on their draft picks. They got a great farm system. Their bullpen's really good. Bautista and Cano, even though Bautista's blown a few saves, I think he's blown like 5 saves this year, he's still got great stuff.
And yesterday you were thinking about expectations.
And how expectations have changed. So usually in Major League Baseball, don't make any rash decisions before Memorial Day. We've hit Memorial Day, right? Basically, we're at Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the day you can honestly say that teams are what their record says they are. Remember when in the COVID year, it was a 60-game season. We're basically at that. We're at like 50 games now for a lot of these teams.
Yeah.
So we're basically at that. Remember, the Marlins made the playoffs that year in a 60-game season. Anybody can have a good 60-game mark. And that's about where we are. I'm thinking like what – do we need to reset expectations for this team? Or do we keep them with a, hey, we're ahead of schedule, whatever happens, happens?
Well, that's right. I wrote down 3 categories. Just wrote it down. True World Series contender. You don't want to face them. And they're a cute fringe wild card threat. Are those fair categories? And which one would the Rangers belong
in? Those are fair.
To me, it's either you don't want to face them or possible World Series contender. They're not cute. They're not fringe. They're for real.
They are easily in the you don't want to face them.
Yes.
I get in the playoffs, I do not want to go up against DeGrom and Eovaldi.
I'm just trying to decide whether to put them in the true contender status.
So they're in the true contender status from the
You okay?
Yeah.
Who
from the position that they have really, really awesome top of the rotation guys puts them in true contender status. The bullpen's going to kill them. They've got to make changes to the bullpen.
But is it where's the offense in the contender consideration versus the starting pitching?
I have far more faith the starting pitching holds up than the offense holds up with what it's done.
Even without Seager for most of that.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, again, like, anybody can have a good couple of weeks. Like, the thing is that
the number one offense in baseball.
What's more likely? The pitching staff is great or the offense is the number one offense in baseball for the entire season?
Man, I mean, you go 50 games, you're averaging 6.3 runs per game.
Well, let's just say they're top three. We don't have to stick at one.
The offense was decent last year.
It was middle. Yeah.
But, like, DeGrom, Eovaldi, Dunning, Gray, Perez, it's a really good five. Really good five, man. Like, I have more. You go down the Astros lineup. The Astros lineup top to bottom, right? Or some of these great offensive lineups. You know, there's more hit. You have more history and data to back up them being great the entire year than some of the guys on this lineup. So it's more of a I have to see it. I know the starting staff. I know what these guys can do.
Okay, so let me ask you, and this might answer Sean's overall question, is who right now would you spot in the Rangers lineup and say that guy is probably playing over his head? Because I look at it, and I mean, you're getting guys who are having maybe better years than they've had in the past, but I don't think anybody's just playing absurdly over their ability. Heim was maybe for a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's kind of returned back down to where in recent weeks. Young, I think, is coming into what we've expected from him, so you expected him to play better. I mean, some of these guys who are playing better than they were last year are guys that you would naturally expect the progression because of their age. Duran, Young, those are guys that you'd expect to play better. You've missed Seager for most of the season.
I think Heim's the main one.
Adolis?
Adolis was what? He was 90 RBIs 1 year, 100 last year. He's been a producer.
Will he be Adolis or Adolis?
Adolis. Yes, Adolis.
But yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it. Duran.
Yeah.
Duran's one. I don't know. It's just like, I just think I have more faith in the starting staff.
All right, so 5:30 pregame, first pitch at 6 o'clock. Kwame Brown versus Shannon Sharp. Kwame Brown, I usually love and support Kwame's rants. Him going off on LeBron for the final possession against Denver was so stupid. But he goes off. Shannon Sharp basically calls him a bum. Why are you talking? And then Kwame Brown responds. Here's Alec putting it all together.
You a guest in the house of this basketball talk. Didn't you know that? And now, since you don't want to act like a guest in this and you want to invalidate me, you football playing dummy. It ain't no first downs in basketball, clown. How you going to try to invalidate a man who was the number one draft pick, boy? You want to try to put some bass in your voice when you talking to me? When you on a panel with a that buckled you down, boy? You on a panel with a white boy that blamed his coach for not making it to college, and you want to try to invalidate me? Are you a clown or what? I'm so glad that you just exposed yourself, you clown. You think you going to put some bass in your voice when you talking to me? And that white boy made you say, I'm just trying to let me finish. Let me finish. You a guest in this house of basketball. Ain't no first downs in basketball.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. And he went on with even more gold as he said, you out there in your big sweater trying to fight the whole Memphis Grizzlies team, the famous Shannon meme.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's why John Morant's carrying the gun. He's scared of you in the arena. That's why John's carrying the gun. And he goes, Shannon, LeBron already has a wife. He don't need you.
Me too.
I love Kwame's rants. But Shannon said, you're on the Mount Rushmore of busts. You're a bum. Why are you talking about this? Which, of course, Shannon is correct. But I just love Kwame's ruthlessness.
Where would he rank on the list of guests that you would be most terrified of the dump button with?
Oh.
Oh, Kwame's.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kwame one
top
and
the list.
Charles Haley two.
Ooh, Haley, that's a really good one.
Yeah,
Haley, Joe Kelly for what he did at Super Bowl with KNC. Yeah. But I love Kwame Brown. Yeah, even when he's wrong, it's entertaining as hell, and it's fun to
His
listen
delivery.
To.
Ball playing dummy.
You a guess
in a grandmama sweater.
In a grandmama sweater.
That's great. Yeah, that's. I did like that sweater, though.
Bobby tells you everything that happened yesterday at OTAs, brought to you by Bosch Power Tools, Inside the Star and Below the Belt. Next. Oh, I love it. Peyton's instructions to Alec Medford filling in included, do not play Bobby Belt's intro. I like it.
Oh, I thought that for a second that was really what he did. I was like, why? What a jerk.
Well, did you hear it? I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it.
Do you I don't have think the, he knew of
Alec,
it.
Alec, do you have the intro? Yeah,
the great
belt.
Bobby Belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. I've seen enough. The Cowboys are going to win three games this year.
I love these teases.
I'm just kidding. No, that was actually, that's one of John Machota's recurring jokes every year. I came, sat down next to him, and he said, well, I've seen enough. This team's winning four games. We're screwed. But you really can't glean anything out of it. The ridiculousness of that statement is, as much as we love to talk about OTAs, and there's a lot you can gain from it and a lot of information that you can glean from it, and we bring it to you thanks to Bosch Power Tools. The reality is there's limitations on what they're able to do. The Cowboys have been fined each of the last two offseason workout seasons because they were, you know, working too hard relative to the CBA. And so because of that, Mike McCarthy talked yesterday about a very scaled back, and look, we're going to be so far away from the line that it's not even going to look like a practice.
So when the Patriots get in trouble, lose two practices, and Belichick gets fined $50K, that's someone on the team snitching, right?
Yeah, they're making a complaint. They're filing a complaint with the NFLPA.
Or is it
assume,
the cameras? Right? Like the league gets access to your practice footage.
So I don't know how common this is, and if they're aware of them being there. But the story I saw yesterday said it was a league observer who was there at the practice and saw it.
So why would you do with a league observer there?
I don't think it's a randomized arrogance thing. I don't think it's like the drug tests. I think the league is supposed to, like the league has observers at every practice for OTAs to see it. That's how the Cowboys got in trouble the last couple of years. And so this was actually, I guess the issue with New England was it was a Joe Judge issue. Joe Judge is the one that got them in trouble. Is that the observer witnessed Joe Judge basically telling the team that a meeting was mandatory, a two-hour meeting was mandatory, and you're not supposed to have mandatory. And so Joe Judge screwed it up by basically saying, gotta be there. And so
way to go, Judge.
Yeah,
go
Judge. You idiot. So out at OTAs, Cowboys very scaled back. You're not going to see pads. Yesterday, you saw very few guys even in helmets. Even when they were doing some of their 11-on-11, just soft walkthrough work, all the guys were like without helmets other than Dak.
And weren't you talking about giving someone a pass because of these practices and the way that they're set up?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have like these, I feel bad. Like these coaches have like no, there's nothing they could do. Like I feel for them. Like they're so hamstrung by the rules. Now, these are the rules the players fought for, and to their credit. Now, I guess you could say the players fought for less practices and not guaranteed contracts, which was their own fault. But like, you know, and credit to the players for fighting. That's what they want. That's what they get. But they barely get any practice time. Like, and I think you want to know why game management to me is so bad, so rampantly bad in the NFL.
Because coaches don't matter, according to you?
Well, they don't. But they also could barely ever practice.
Yeah.
And the practice time they do have, they're using it on installing the offense for the week and not necessarily game situations.
Yeah.
So, to me, I would think if a coach, if a team has to practice end-of-game situations for the players, don't you think the coach should also practice end-of-game situations? And if you don't have practice time to do that, how do you get better?
No, I 100% agree with you. It's something that coaches have been frustrated by. It's something that even some players. Yesterday, Dak was frustrated by this because you talk about how limited they have to be. OTAs are already limited because of the CBA, and with the Cowboys trying to scale back and not even get close to the line, Dak was really frustrated talking about those limitations.
It's tough. That's just the way, what we're in now, right? CBAs and all that, more jog-through walkthroughs. Got to make the most of it, though. I think that's where it comes in, individual, pushing myself, making sure that with the drill work I'm doing, I'm not taking it for granted. I'm doing it with a purpose, doing it with the right intentions. And then just when you're out there in 11-on-11, understand that we can't be physically full speed, but my mind can. So to make sure that whether I'm checking it down or not, I'm just going through everything and making the most out of the practice regardless of the speed.
And that's the tough thing. They're basically having to imagine practice situations out here at OTAs. And that's why there's limited things that you can learn. But you can learn a lot, and you can still see some important things related to the team. One of the things you can see yesterday, the offensive line that stepped out there with Terrence Steele missing because of his still recovery from the ACL. He was out there. He was doing some cord work, but he was not practicing. And then Zach Martin was absent for we don't know why. He was in street clothes. But the offensive line was Tyler Smith at left tackle. Left guard, first team was Matt Farniak. Center was Tyler Biadasz. Right guard was Josh Ball. And then your right tackle is Tyron Smith. And so that was the offensive line rotation. You saw some Chuma Edoga get in there a little bit. Matt Waletzko came in, took some reps at tackle and guard. Matt Farniak played both guards and center. So a couple different things. Now, the interesting thing was when they were doing this 11-on-11 walkthrough jogging period, there was something I noticed that was a little interesting. I don't recall McCarthy ever doing this. They had split the field up into two sides and were doing 11-on-11 work on two different fields or on two different sides of the field. One was the veterans and the first team type of players with a couple extras there to rotate in. And then the other side of the field was basically rookies, young players, and bottom of the roster guys. And so that was kind of interesting to me that you don't typically see them working on opposite fields, but there was one rookie that was working with the veteran side of the field and working with the starters. Uh-huh. And it was, any guesses?
Schoon! I read your email.
Luke Schoonmaker. Luke Schoonmaker was out there, not Mozzie Smith. Mozzie Smith was on the other side of the field.
Oh, man, the asthma field.
Bust. And that's how we're feeling about it. And they had three or four defensive tackles with there. Now, few different guys were missing from practice yesterday, like I already mentioned, in addition to the ones we already talked about. You were missing DeMarcus Lawrence, Jordan Lewis, Trayvon Diggs, all these guys. But the tight end group was 100% participation, and they still had Schoonmaker over there. So it's not like they just needed bodies. Schoonmaker was over there with the starters and getting most of the reps.
Why wasn't Trayvon there? I saw him playing pickup hoops in his brother's charity game.
I think Diggs was in the building. Some of these guys we saw standing around. Some of them, DeMarcus Lawrence, I saw in the building walking around the hallways. He just wasn't at practice. So I think Diggs was there.
Okay.
I just don't know why he wasn't practicing. There were several veterans that weren't. But when you look at the way they divided up the field, you can't necessarily project out starters just because of that. But the fact that they had Schoonmaker as the only rookie with the veteran group when all the tight ends were over there, I think we can bank on the fact that Schoonmaker's going to be in play to start.
Can we just call him by something different? Can we just call him Schoony, period?
I can't, because that makes me think of the Ohio State basketball player from 20 years ago, Schoony Penn. Michael Redd's teammate.
Yeah.
Schoon, I guess we can try Schoon, but I like Schoonmaker. Now, he did at one point, I think it was during 7-on-7, Schoonmaker had to go off to the side with Jim Maurer and looked like he was dealing with, don't want to speculate where, but looked like it could have been a groin or something like that. He was doing a lot of this chop. He was putting the ankle over the knee and flexing and trying to stretch something out.
Glute
stretch.
Look
like QC?
So
glute stretch right there.
He was a little... IT. He was a little... sore, it looked like, kept trying to loosen it up, got back out there in a little 7-on-7 and did some things. Other rookies that stood out, Deuce Vaughn stood out just for the fact that you can't see him sometimes. Literally, he is a player, you can't see him if he's standing behind.
That's
anybody.
Good. I think that's a good, I think it's a good trait.
It's honestly, it's not the worst thing for his skill set,
right?
Because it sounds a little silly, but defenders lose him.
Can't tackle,
guys.
What you can't see.
Exactly. Defenders will lose him behind blockers and can't get a hold of him. But there were a couple different times yesterday where he was going for the corner, going around the edge, and the defenders couldn't catch him.
And Dak Prescott was asked. He talked about Mike McCarthy in his ear. And what will the offensive changes look like overall, number four?
Obviously, there's some ads, some things taken out. I think you just get an overall feel that maybe the game's going to just be called a little different. Yeah, differently there. But, yeah, I can't give away too much. I mean, it's his first day, guys. Like, come on now. Yeah. But, no, it is some changes. No, I mean, it's not like we've been thrown away our playbook and tried to start over or anything like that. And, I mean, obviously, we've had some success. So, there is good there. So, obviously, we had to take that and just really detail the hell out of just everything that we're doing. Think plays that we've already had, new plays in, just understanding the purpose and just make sure everybody knows the why and what their purpose is in their play and in their role. So just detailing it all, I think, is going to make us play faster and be better.
And reporters tried one more time to ask for changes in the form of, what about timing? What about tempo? Anything different there?
Guys being detailed, guys being to their spot faster, cleaner, which allows when that play's not there, which allows us then to go and scramble and to create a play. You know what I mean? That just allows when the first read and the second read aren't there, for everybody to be on the same page for that scramble drill, that third. And just in this first couple of days, guys are flying off the ball. And I think that's the biggest difference. And so more that we can get that, the better we're going to be.
It's going to be the thing you heard up there. You heard Dak say it, McCarthy, a bunch of different people. You kept hearing the words timing, precision. You would hear communication. And that's what it's all going to be about. If Mike McCarthy is installing a traditional West Coast offense, which is what we've heard, it is all going to be about exactly what Dak said there. The speed, getting to your spot at the right time. Everything has got to fall into place. If it doesn't, the scheme is useless.
He left out the most important term in the whole thing about changes. He didn't say handoff. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Handoff.
That's the biggest one.
That's going to be the biggest thing.
Run, run, run.
Run, run,
Marty,
run.
You ready for Marty ball? That's what it is.
Which we did.
McCarthy ball.
We did have Tony Pollard at practice. And he was taking carries. He had a compression sleeve on. We talked about how Jabril Cox didn't earlier today. He had a compression sleeve on that left leg that he had worked on. But he was out there moving around, looked good. So it seems like he'll be ready to go for the season without any limitations.
Choppy and I were getting ready for the Stars with the Stars.
Yeah.
We'll explain and talk about the Game 4 win that kept the season alive. Final hour, Friday edition, next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.